Good morning. So what is April 1st? April Fool's Day, you're exactly right. So we thought we'd have fun playing a little April Fool's joke on you guys, and that is that the parent night out is actually April 23rd. We actually had scheduled April 1st, but we needed to reschedule it, and I'm just couching it in April Fool's kind of, you know, framing it that way so you think we actually planned it, but we didn't. So April 23rd, please, you do not want to miss that. I don't want you showing up here on April 1st, and there's nobody here to watch your kids so you can go out and have a great time. But there will be on April 23rd, okay? And then secondly, we have on April 4th, does anybody know what April 4th is? Oh, this is disappointing. I've done a terrible job of pastoring you. It is the finals of the men's NCAA basketball, okay? And we're having, the men's ministry is hosting a party here. Imagine on the screen, the final. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have some games. We're going to do some fun man stuff. So anyways, please, you want to show up on Monday, April 4th. We're going to have a great time. Okay, that's it. Let's get to why hopefully you're here, and that is, what does God's Word have to say to me today? Remember, we are taking a three-week little break. We've been in the book of Matthew since September of 2020. That's a long time, and it's been great, and we're like right at the very end. But we're going to take this little three-week kind of detour to talk about the mind. And I'll explain why in just a second, why I think it's important, okay? But what I want us to start with is, do you have any idea that the greatest asset you have is your brain? Bar none. It is an amazing part of the body. It is the greatest asset you have. It's the greatest asset I have. And the brain enables the mind and the energy of the mind to produce our thoughts and our feelings and our choices. And as I was reading different books and studying in preparation for this, there are so many cool things out there, and there are so many fields of study, cognitive psychology, neuroscience, that seek to understand how the brain works. Why do we think what we think? How do we learn best? And those kinds of things. And I thought that this morning was really important that we get off to a foundational understanding. My goal for this morning is that we will come to understand how important it is that we think about what we think about. Critical. If hopefully you'll walk away, and then the next 2 weeks in this three-week series, the next 2 weeks are going to be intensely practical, but we need to lay the foundation. And the foundation is that the Bible speaks very clearly about how important it is that we think about what we think about. Now, that may sound a little crazy, but I hope it sticks. I'll say it enough times that I really hope that it makes an impact. I'm not going to get too far out into cognitive psychology or neuroscience, right? That's way above my pay grade, okay? I told you the important stuff, April 4th, NCAA finals. That's all right. So, but in studying it, the brain is an amazing part of the body. It actually is elastic. It can grow. It's not static. It's not solid. And every thought you have, every emotion you have, every decision that you make creates these neural pathways in your brain. And what's really fascinating is I love it when science catches up to the scripture. And science is showing and demonstrating that as your brain creates these new neural pathways, these new thoughts, that you actually can manage them. You can control them so they do not control you. I've got to think for everyone, if not most of us in here, that could be really exciting. Because we have thoughts bombarding us. I have thoughts bombarding me all the time. Believe it or not, I was looking when I was reading, there are somewhere between 6,000 and 60,000 thoughts a person has in a day. I mean, somebody's really thinking up a storm, and somebody's, you know, kind of just maybe cruising through, but 6,000 thoughts a day. And here's what's alarming. I don't know how they measure this, but I saw this regularly over the different resources that I was looking at. 70 to 80% of our thoughts are negative. Just think about that for a minute. 6,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day for the average person, and 70 to 80% of those thoughts are negative. That'll do a number on you. I mean, I was thinking in my own life, what am I more mindful of? As I look in my journal, I write in a journal. I'll come back to that a little bit later, but I write in a journal fairly regularly, and I think about what I've done before. Is I'll at the end of a year, I'll go back and read the previous year's journal entries just to get an idea of what was going on. And most of it's negative. Most of it's the things that I'm focusing on that I really I'm struggling with. So is it any wonder why we have come to understand that a lot of psychological illness and emotional illness, physical illness, comes from unhealthy, negative thought patterns? And so this morning, my goal is for us to understand that it's important that we think about what we think about. Because if we have 70 to 80% of our thoughts are negative, my friends, you will not have a positive life. It just won't happen. And I don't believe me. I think the scripture will prove that to be true. And certainly neuroscience and cognitive psychology would argue the same as well. But that's what I want to do this morning. Is I want to set the foundation for the next 2 weeks, which will be very practical. Now, why now? I've been thinking about this for a while. I've been excited to do this series. I just wasn't sure when I was going to stick it in the calendar. But I thought this was really the important time now. Because I think there's a lot going on, and there are a lot of thoughts, a lot of negative thoughts that you could allow over the walls of your mind. I could allow over the walls of my mind. I mean, we have the war in Ukraine with Russia involved. And I have actually, people have asked me, Kevin, is this World War III? You know, the one that the Bible talks about. So there's might be fear associated with that. Certainly we're coming out of COVID and all the, maybe the paranoia of government conspiracies, or the anger and angst over the restrictions. Social media, I mean, that's always doing a number. You just keep scrolling, and how many thoughts of comparison and covetousness and jealousy do you get bombarded with that are knocking at the door of your mind? Of course, now we have, I just saw that the cheap gas place, AM, PM, like $4.65 a gallon. I mean, that might be creating anxiety and stress over, oh my goodness. And I mean, we went to Mod Pizza last night. It's more expensive. Like, significant. Like, we, from the Mod Pizza, I remember you could get a Mod Pizza for like $9. Now you get it, I can go get a pizza at Papa John's. It'll feed two for the price of what we paid for one last night. I don't know why I said that, but it just kind of popped in my head. But it's just, you're seeing it everywhere. And it can create anxiety. It can create these negative thoughts. And so we are going to set out this morning to set a foundation, three truths that I think are really critical we understand, and then we're going to move forward in the next 2 weeks to be intensely practical. So that is the goal for this morning. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to your table of contents. I want you to find, you got an Old Testament, New Testament. In your New Testament table of contents, those of you that are here, those of you that are tuning in at home, you might be on a Bible app, or you might have old school Bible, and I want you to find the book of 2 Corinthians in your New Testament table of contents. And when you get there, you'll be at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then I want you to kind of hang out there for a minute, because we will come around to that. But I want to address three foundational truths to mastering our minds in a way that they work for us and not against us. But before we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to read some other places in Scripture. That's not me, is it? I thought that might have been my other voice in my head that I hear often. Anyways, okay, so I'm going to read to you three different passages of Scripture. And what I want you to listen for is the first principle. And I'm going to give you the first principle ahead of time. And the first principle is that our lives will move in the direction of the strongest, most persistent thoughts that we have. Kind of like what you think is what you'll become. In a minute, I'll share that in the secular world, but let's listen to what the scripture has to say, because science is always catching up to scripture. And the point that I want to make is that whatever your strongest thoughts are and most persistent, that is the direction your life is going to go. Okay? So with that in mind, I want you to listen for that. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The writer of Proverbs says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." And then in Galatians chapter number 6, verses 7 and 8, I'll get there eventually here, Paul says to people just like you and me, he says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit." I want you to hear the connection between thinking thoughts, inner life, and the direction in which your life will go. And then lastly, in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." So, I hope you kind of heard in those three verses, and there's others, that's the three I'm giving you, this connection, this idea between where our strongest, most persistent thoughts are and how life will be determined and the direction that our lives will go. But let's kind of circle back. Okay, I want to circle back real quick, and I want us to look at each one of these verses a little bit more in detail. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The writer of Proverbs says that guard your heart above all else. It is the source of life. Now, what he's saying is that life comes from your heart. Now, clearly, he doesn't mean the organ that's pumping inside your chest cavity. You see, in the Bible, and particularly in Proverbs, the word heart means your inner person, the core of who you are, the center of your life. And out of the center, out of the core, comes thoughts, comes emotion, and comes choices and actions. And so the writer of Proverbs is saying, guard that inner place where your thoughts reside, where your emotions are, where your decisions are made. Guard it. Because it will lead you to life if you guard it well. Let's listen to it in a secular sense. Albert Ellis, who is an American psychologist and psychotherapist, and this is someone that, believe me, this chain that I'm about to share with you, this goes way back. I read this 30-something years ago, and it impacted me then. It has impacted me ever since. And he theorizes how human behavior comes about, and he gives us this chain. And what he says is it starts with your beliefs. And your beliefs are shaped and formed in your upbringing, in your experiences, through your education and what you learn. You gradually develop beliefs. And then when an event happens in your life, from what you believe come your thoughts about whatever is happening to you. And from your thoughts then come your emotions, and most likely it's out of your emotions that you make or that you take action. And so this is kind of the process that this American psychologist is saying explains human behavior. What I want you to notice is the significance of thoughts in this, which come from your beliefs. And beliefs certainly involve thinking, okay? And they involve feeling as well, too. We learn and we derive our beliefs. But I want you to notice it's not emotions. What he's saying is if you want to change your behavior, if there's something about your behavior that you don't like, it's not working, okay? What he's saying is trace it back. Go from your actions, maybe you're working yourself crazy. No borders in your life, no margins, no boundaries. It's just all work. And it's creating a problem at home. And it's creating a problem physically. And you're wondering, why am I doing this? And then he says, trace that action back to your feelings. What are you feeling like? What's going on inside of you that seems to be associated with this action that's not healthy? And maybe your feelings are, you feel like, you feel inferior. You feel like, I've got to perform so that people will approve of me. And then he says, take that emotion and then go back another step and go, what are you thinking? What's going on in your mind that's creating these emotions that's resulting in this action that you realize is unhealthy? And maybe in your mind, what you're hearing is maybe what you grew up hearing at home, and that is it, you'll never amount to anything. Or maybe at a previous place of employment, your boss said, you're never going to make it. You'll never be much of anything. And so here are these thoughts that are kind of cascading in your head, and you began to believe that you would never be able to make it, and so you just said, I'm going to throw myself into everything I'm doing. And there's two, you could go the other way too and say, I give up. And certainly those have a different set of emotions and actions as well. But what he's saying is look, trace it back, look at it, but don't stop with your emotions. And for the last 30 years, I have been journaling. And a regular entry in my journal is, I think to myself, okay, what am I doing here? What is this action that's happening? Why is it bothering me? And I'll think, how am I feeling right now? What are the feelings that are going on? And I'll write down things like fear or discouragement, anger, insecurity. I'll write those down. And then underneath those, I'll think to myself, okay, what is causing me? What's going on? What truth, what reality is happening that's making me feel this way? And now I'm to the facts. Now I'm to my thoughts. And I analyze my thoughts. And then I do something else from there, and I'll explain that more in the next couple weeks. But this is a process that you can take yourself through to kind of understand what is going on. And think about it. Emotions, feelings, you can't stop there. Because feelings you can't control. It's like if I said to you right now, be happy. I mean, you can't do that. Be sad. It's hard. Why? Because you need thoughts. You need to think sad thoughts. You need to think happy thoughts. You gotta set your mind on that, which then creates the emotion. Because emotions, you cannot get your hands around them. You can't just summon them when you want. Ah, but thoughts you can. So I just want you to see the significance, the importance of thoughts. So in a way, the writer of Proverbs really is saying, guard your thoughts, for from them springs life. So we've got to be really mindful of what we are thinking. Now, let's go to the next, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. You recall, he says, whatever a man sows, this is what he's going to reap. Okay, maybe you've seen this kind of up on a picture, framed in a picture in an office, or maybe you've seen this walking through the mall, and maybe you see the picture up there where they're selling quaint sayings, cute sayings. But this is by Ralph Waldo Emerson. This is another secular way in which a biblical truth is being said in a more poetical way. And you've probably heard that. It says, sow a thought and reap a deed. Sow a deed and reap a habit, sow a habit and reap a character, sow a character and reap a destiny. Sounds kind of cool. And like I said, maybe you've heard that, you've seen that. But that's just taking the truth of the scripture and bringing it out in a different light, because that's how things go down. That's how important our thoughts are. Sow a thought. He starts there. So let's go back to the brain for a minute. Again, lovely when science supports scripture, but let's go back to the brain for a minute and go back to what I was saying before. When you have thoughts and I have thoughts, and feelings, and decisions that we make, we create these neural pathways in our brain. And the more we think of these, the deeper that neural pathway goes in your brain, and the easier it is for thoughts to flow through them into your mind. Which is great for some things, like brushing your teeth and driving a car, right? I mean, you don't have to rethink when you're, all right, at one point, you had to learn what a toothbrush was. You had to learn what toothpaste was. You had to learn where to put the toothpaste, where to put the toothbrush, and what to do with the toothbrush. You had to do that. I hope at this point no one is still going through that every morning. Or how about driving a car, right? You're not thinking consciously of what you're doing. Why? Because you've got this deep neural pathway in your brain. You've done this so much that it almost becomes automatic. Or does become automatic in some cases. Which is wonderful for the good habit. But we also have the negative thoughts that are just as automatic. And they come and they attack. And they come at you at the craziest times. They come at you in a regular way. No one cares about your opinion. No one values you as a person. You're never going to make it. God doesn't care. He's not going to provide. Yeah, I'd be afraid too. I mean, they come, right? And the idea is that if we set our minds on those negative thoughts and we keep thinking them, 70 to 80%, and we focus on that, what does that do to us? Well, Scripture says, guard your thoughts because they will lead you to the life that you have. And if all we do is think about negative thoughts, we will become negative people. And we'll complain and we'll criticize. And it'll be harder to turn the ship around. It'll be harder to become positive, and people won't want to be around you. That's how powerful our thoughts are. Think you can't and you won't. Focus on the problems, you'll never find a solution. That's how powerful our thoughts are. Conversely, think you can, chances are you will. Focus on the solution, real probability you'll find one. So we have to be really mindful, thinking about what we think about. Then in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to notice the connection between transformation and renewing the mind. Again, do you see how these verses reinforce this idea that what you think is what you'll become? That your life will move in the direction of the strongest thoughts that you have. And notice the connection. If you renew your mind, will come the transformation. That is how powerful our thoughts are. That is why it is critical that we think about what we think about. Okay, so I hope we grasp that first truth principle to the foundation of this message here. Secondly, well, let me ask you, before we go to the second one, I've already asked, but I'll ask again, are you aware of what you think about? Do you have any idea what you think about? I think that's an important question to give strong consideration to. Now, let's go to the second principle for the foundation of this message series. And that is, my friends, now turn to 2 Corinthians, or you are there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Paul says this, what I want you to listen for, and here's the principle. The principle is that we must take very seriously the battle that is in your mind for your mind. Take very seriously the battle, very purposefully choosing that word. It is a battle that is in your mind, and it is for your mind. And listen to how Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. He says, for though we live in the body, we do not wage war in an unspiritual way, since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, we're going to dive into this more in the coming weeks, but what I want you to notice is, did you hear the battle terminology? Paul is not mincing words. There is a battle in your mind and in my mind that is for your mind and for my mind. And Paul is likening it to our minds being the battleground where that takes place. And our enemy, our adversary, has a three-pronged attack. First, our adversary being Satan, being the devil. And his first prong is he tries to deceive us with lies that are just a hair off, but they're lies. And the trajectory, when you extrapolate that all the way out to a life lived long, you got a mess. But we're going to go into that in a couple weeks, okay? So the first prong is the devil sends out these deceptive lies. The second way in which he attacks you, attacks me, and particularly in our minds, is he works off of and appeals to our brokenness, our disordered desires that we have. And so he deceives us with lies that are shot at and directed at our disordered desires because of our brokenness. And then the third prong is the world. It is the people and the institutions and the systems that normalize our disordered desires. They reinforce them. That is how he attacks, through thoughts in our minds, not just merely in our minds, but for our minds. Do you see it that way? Do you understand it that way? If you've never thought about what you think about, chances are no, you haven't. Which is why it's important to think about what you think about. What am I being bombarded with? What's happening there? Now, I want you to notice the word in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, which is strongholds. I want to double that down with in Romans chapter 7. Let me read to you another place where Paul likens this to a war. In Romans chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, he says, "For in my inner self I joyfully agree with God's law, but I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body." Paul is describing his brain that is broken. And in his brain are old sinful patterns and habits and thoughts. He says, there's the spirit inside me that's been reborn, that desires the things of God, but it's in conflict with my old sin nature, my disordered desires. And I feel the battle, and it's happening right here. And Paul, in both places, he refers to strongholds and he refers to prisoner. And can you relate to that? Is there a stronghold in your life that you're like going, I just can't stop thinking this? Or do you feel like you're a prisoner to a thought that is with you everywhere? You just can't seem to shake that thought. You see, the strongholds and the things that we're held prisoner to are like things like lies. We have mental blocks because of maybe certain beliefs or maybe we struggle with certain worldviews. I mean, there's all kinds of strongholds, arguments that go against God. It's there, and we're getting bombarded with it. And things like unhealthy fears, pornography, worry, guilt, shame. I mean, these are all thoughts that come at us, and they're strongholds that kind of hold over us. How about consumerism? Let's just take consumerism for a minute. Consumerism, my friends, is predicated, it is built on, it's like a parasite. It lives off of your discontent and mine. Right? I mean, that's kind of the American way. It's always build this one, and then we're going to build a better one in a year from now. And we're going to advertise in such a way that we're going to prey on what is inside of you, these disordered desires, and we're going to create this discontent, and you're going to want the new one. It's predicated on our discontent. And it comes at us through our minds. And I've already mentioned some other things that you're hearing constantly. I'm not good enough. No one will listen to me. No one cares about my opinion. No one values who I am. God is never going to provide. This is the best life will be. And you know why they're called strongholds? Because they're hard to get rid of. Do I have a witness? Can I get at least one amen? Amen. Amen. We're gonna talk more specifically about how do we get rid of them next week. I just want to keep you right here where it's just, I want you to be serious. When you leave in here, I want you to think, man, I got to think about my thoughts and why I think them, okay? But here's the question. Are you ready to wage war? Are you ready? Do you realize the stakes are high? Do you realize that this isn't just a bad day? This isn't just a one-off bad thought. My friends, it is a battle for your mind and your mind. And the question is, are you ready to wage war? So again, naturally, the idea is, yes, okay, I'm ready. So how do I fight this battle? How do I take down the strongholds that are in my life? How do we defeat the negative thoughts that I have that come from beliefs that were formed as I grew up that then result in emotions that cause me to act in a way that just is not healthy? What do I do? I'm just teasing you because that's what we're going to talk about in depth in the next 2 weeks. And what I'm going to do next week is I'm going to address the thoughts that have already gotten over the wall. They're pinging around in your head. You're fighting them as best you can, but man, you're no match for them. So next week, we're going to talk about how do I address what has already breached the wall. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about how do I build a bigger wall, a stronger wall? How do I keep out some of the thoughts that are out there that want in, but I don't want them in? What do I do? So that's what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks. But the last principle that is really important, that's kind of general in a sense, and I want to read to you from Romans chapter 8, verse 6 to understand where I'm going with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, Paul says this. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. Paul is saying when you set your mind, when you allow your mind, when you let over the wall in your mind worldly thoughts, you're going to die. You're going to die. But when you have the Spirit of God defending you on the wall for you, and you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, my friends, you're going to find life. And this leads me to the third foundational principle. And that is that what we're dealing with, my friends, we are not merely dealing with positive thinking. I don't want you looking in the mirror going, you're awesome. I don't want you doing that. I'm not asking you to do that. We're dealing with a spiritual battle, my friends, that needs spiritual weaponry. That's the third foundational principle, is the battle in your mind for your mind is ultimately a spiritual battle. And you and I both need spiritual weaponry to have any chance to truly be victorious. We're not talking just about positive thinking. And in order to have such weaponry, Paul is specific about what you need more than anything else, and that is that you need the Spirit of God in your life. You see, the Spirit of God is the presence of God that brings to you the empowering attributes that God wants to give to His people. The way to think, the way to act, self-control, wisdom to recognize what to let in and what not, those kinds of things. But it's a spiritual attainment. This is not you being a better version of you. It's not you thinking more positive thoughts. What it starts with is it starts with the fact that you realize I am broken, my wall's been breached, and I need help. And it's looking to God and saying, God, I need help. I'm broken. And understand that God saw that before you did. And He knew that you needed forgiveness. He knew that you needed to be in a right relationship with God so that you would be able to be all that He wanted you to be, to endure the battle that's out there. And so He sent Jesus to come live the perfect life you couldn't. And then Jesus dies to accept the judgment of God for the sins of all humanity, including your sin and my sin. And when we put our faith and trust in Him, the Bible's very clear, we get a deposit. It's a deposit for something greater that's even to come. And the deposit is God says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I will be in your life. And I'm going to give you the empowering presence of the Spirit of God, who's going to give you wisdom and discernment to understand and to be empowered and ready for the battle. And we get that, and we need that. We cannot go out there. You can apply what we'll talk about in the next 2 weeks. You can apply it without the Spirit of God in your life, but it's Band-Aids, my friend. It will not last. You will not be able to sustain and hold up under the battle that is in your mind for your mind. And so we need the Spirit of God, and that comes when you put your faith and trust in Him. So there's the foundation. Now let me challenge you in this way if I can. And that is, one of the books I read referred to what's called a thought audit. And that's what I was referring to before when I was like, man, what he's describing, I've been doing this for 30 years. I should have written this book. And what he suggests is that because we have the technology that we have, is that you, with your smartphone or if you want to write it down, whatever, is go throughout your day and record your thoughts. And that's what I'm going to challenge you to do. 3 out of the next 5 days. Record your thoughts as you're thinking, as a thought comes, record what it is. Especially be mindful of 2 things, and I threw a third one in. bonus, no, you know, not to pay for it. I threw this in last service. I'll do it for this one too as well. But really what I want you to do is I want you to be very conscious of what are the thoughts that work against me and what are the thoughts that work for me? What are the thoughts that are negative that want me to go down the road that does not turn out well? What are the thoughts that build me up, that encourage me, that are healthy? Make a list. Keep a list, okay? We're going to work with those in the next couple weeks. The middle category is, because some of you are going to think, I don't really have many negative thoughts or positive thoughts. I'm kind of like Switzerland. I'm just like right in the middle, okay? I want you to write those down too, because those have a place in what we're going to talk about in the next 2 weeks, okay? So, there you go. I am going to pray, and I hope that you're encouraged and excited to come back. I try to tease you a little bit what we're going to talk about. But today, I've done my job. If you leave and think to yourself, wow, I really need to think about what I think about. Okay? Father, thank you for your patience and your mercy. I thank you for the power of your word, how searing it is, Lord. And I thank you for your spirit that directs every word spoken exactly where we need it in our lives. God, anything that came from me that was from me, I pray that it just fell to the ground. But Father, your truth, I pray it's penetrated every heart and mind here, and it's going to prepare us well for the next couple weeks so that we can fight these battles. We can master our mind for your glory and the goodness of those around us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.